Hello, Mustang fans, and welcome to another Ford Performance edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. I'm John Clore, Enthusiast Communications Manager for Ford Performance, along with my co-host, Mike Ray, President of the Mustang Owners Club of Southeastern Michigan and the International Council of Mustang Clubs. You know, our motto has long been, everyone has a Mustang story. And Mike, tonight, we've got another special episode with a Mustang story that I'm sure our listeners are going to appreciate.
Yeah, as well as us as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, folks. Tonight we welcome Lance Wilson, host of the Fox Body FX podcast, who also hosts Fox Body FX on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Lance, welcome to the Mustang Owners Podcast.
Hey, John, Mike, thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking to you guys and having some Mustang fun tonight.
Well, absolutely, because, Mike, I don't know, we've had several of our friends are in the podcasting realm, and I'm not sure that we've had too many of them on yet, but Lance, it's hard not to pay attention to you, because you're riding the Mustang wave of probably the most, I would say, influential and popular push in the collector car bubble that I've seen in the Mustang world, since the 70s, and the Fox body is, that's going houses of fire. It's amazing.
It absolutely is. There's everybody that used to have one wants one again. And if they still have one, now they've got three.
So Mike, you got done rolling in your 5.0, what, last week?
Yeah. So I've owned 9 Mustangs and 8 of them have been Fox bodies. So yeah, just the era and time I grew up in. Lance, how many do you have?
Currently just 2. I sold a Celine SSC recently and an 09 GT500. So I'm down to 2 with some other fun toys.
But which ones do you have currently?
Currently I have a 91 Bimini Blue coupe that I sourced from West Virginia about 4 years ago. My son and I went and purchased it and have fully, I guess, restore/hyper-modified the car. So it's a definite show car slash autocross setup. So it's got a lot done to it. We can talk about it, I'm sure. But and then I have a 79 Mercury Capri that was owned in the original car that Tom Dugan from Dugan Racing, if you guys remember that name from back in the day. It was his first car that he ever built and did anything with in the Mustang lineup. Well, Capri, but Fox body lineup. Sure. Before he started Dugan Racing when he worked for a Ford dealership. So I bought that about a year ago.
Oh, cool.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I made the mistake of getting in the hobby. My first Mustang was a 68 Fastback, and I wish I would have kept that, except it met a horrible fate one night when my brother took it to his class reunion. Mm-hmm. And I did have a Fox body. I had a 79 for the first year. It was a little four-cylinder coupe. And but after that, I think I was the only person in Moxham that had a 66 Mustang convertible, that the only one in the country that weighed 9,000 pounds. It was about 2,000 pounds of Mustang, and the other 7,000 pounds were Bondo.
That's good stuff.
Like, you never saw that car.
No.
No, I think I donated it as a raffle car, as long as somebody kept the air in the tires. Yeah. But now, yeah, and I say this, Lance, because I got to tell you, you know, everybody knows in the collector car world, Mustang goes through a bubble, and the bubble happens when people become of age and have the wherewithal to go buy the Mustang that they never got as a young person. So, I mean, other than the original owners group from 1964, bought the original Mustangs and still have them. As we age, say you wanted a 65 or a first gen 65, 66, couldn't afford it. And then, you know, there was a time when you bought every one of them you could. And now, Mike, you know this, you can't find a first gen Fastback anywhere under $50,000.
No, mm-hmm. And Fox body's getting up there now. That is definitely the in-demand car. They used to be the ones you could get for $2,000-$4,000. Not anymore. I mean, even shells are just double that now. So Fox body is the hottest thing in the Mustang heritage, in my opinion, at the current moment.
Oh, and Lance, you know, we went through this with the first gens, and, you know, I'm a second gen guy. My first new Mustang was a Cobra II, And then about, what was it, Mike, 2016, about 9 years ago, we held the first national reunion at World Headquarters, and we didn't get quite 90 cars, did we, Mike?
89
cars. And so the second gens went through a renewal, and boy, prices doubled when everybody was collecting those, you know, because Mike Barati will tell you that the big horses went through a push as well. But then once it got to Fox Body, the bargain, you're trying to find a Fox Body, especially like a, say, a LX 5 liter coupe that hasn't been molested, is impossible.
And yeah.
So Lance, I feel for you, because the hobby, even though it's growing, it's really hard to, now with the prices going up, that's not an entry level Mustang anymore. That's kind of turned it over to SN95. Now Fox Bodies are hotly collectible. How are you keeping track of all that stuff? Are you noticing a lot of your owner base is just saying, man, the prices are getting out of control?
You know, you're right. Traditionally, there is a lot of demand that's, I think, been there for a long time, because they were so accessible for sub $5,000 for a complete car that you could just get in and drive. Now, it might have not looked the best, it might have not performed the best, but you could get it and drive it down to a local store or a cruising or whatever for that kind of price for so long. And now that's impossible to do, because, you know, everybody knows the reasons why. But, you know, you hit one of the biggest ones is the people that can now go back and buy a car they had in high school, or a first car, second car mentality. And so they're doing that. But here I will say that, you know, inflation has played a big role in this. And I think we can't not see that, because, you know, if you take that out, there's still, I think, a very affordable car to get into, especially if you compare it to other cars, not just the Mustang that you could buy 5-10 years ago. If you're looking at it as far as, hey, this is a performance car, and, you know, it's still maybe only has 250, 300 horsepower, but it's still a performance car that has so much accessibility through switching parts with other, you know, vehicles that are that, you know, 79 to 93 format, or even later, as far as not the body exterior panels. You have so much accessibility to just OEM parts to switch out from, you know, used and junkyard to aftermarket, which is, you know, almost second to none. The accessibility to get something, even if it doesn't run well, and then fix it up, is almost limitless. And still, to buy a car that can perform and drive and run really well for under $10,000, I think is still a good bargain. And you may not get the nicest looking, and it may still have a little Bondo, but you can get one.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and Mike, you and I were talking about this a while back. You know, as we approach looking at 60 years of Mustang, you know, coming up very shortly here, the Fox body had the one advantage that most generations didn't, and that it lasted 15 years. And, you know, it's been in the market a long time, and it's, at least in its later years, the run. The cars, you know, mechanically stayed the same. So there was a lot of cars out there to choose from. And I think that's helped keep the price down a little bit, with that there are so many of them. Unfortunately, too many watched the Vanilla Ice video.
Yeah. And, you know, have you watched the auctions lately? The 93 Cobras are just going through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, Mark Wilson always told me he thought that would happen. And I know, Lance, you've interviewed Mark. He was at SVT. When I was at SVT, we definitely thought, well, that was the 1 year exclamation point. Here we're launching an all new brand, special vehicle team, and we're launching it on a platform that's got literally 1 year in market. And then we switched over to SN95. So it was really tough for us to, you know, say goodbye. The Cobra was the exclamation point for the Fox bodies. And boy, there were so many Cobra clones, Lance. Everybody, even at Ford, was making clones out of their Fox body. They're making the Cobra clone. Parts right now, though, I know you interview a lot of the suppliers. Are more people getting into the aftermarket parts business for at least the body pieces for Fox bodies?
You know, I think there's been a lot of big players for a long time, but you are starting to see, I feel like, a lot more individuals that are getting into things from the modified perspective, where they like the look of the Fox body, but they want to improve upon it. And I think, honestly, there's two categories right now that are pushing the market even higher than just Fox bodies at all. But I think, as we all know, when the tides rise, they rise all ships, whether it's the, you know, those unique, rare, you know, top of the line, like you're mentioning in the 93 Cobra or Celine's or different styles, but also just your run of the mill daily driver Mustang, all of them are increasing in value. But what's really pushing, in my mind, all of it right now are two things. It's trying to find, like you said, low mileage original, right, and then highly modified. And modified with receipts and purchase proof, and you know, whether you're doing it yourself or a shop, having actual documented proof of what's gone into the car. If you document it well and you have a nice modified car, I mean, there's been, you know, record sales on stuff like that. I mean, there's things out there that people are really looking for, and in rare colors. That's another thing, yep, too. So yeah, people, Mike, are really looking for that.
Mike, at World Headquarters, when you do the annual memories and you watch the Fox bodies, which do you see gaining more attention? Is it the perfectly restored, all original, I haven't been molested, perfectly maintained, my God, this thing's so like it rolled out of the factory Fox? Or is it that really cool, ultra modified, looks like it's just a super custom, maybe Coyote powered? Which ones are the ones that are drawing the most interest that you see, Mike?
I think the three I see are 79 pace car, you know, modified other ones, and then also the 93 Cobra always gets the greatest attention. It's just something about that car that just brings it up. Like you said, there's a million clones out there, but the 79 pace car still always gets a ton of looks. And, you know, that's what started it all, basically. And I think a lot of people like to tend to go towards that. But like you said, 90% of them that are out there have been modified. If you find a Fox that's not modified, very, very, very rare. That's why I appreciate mine. Mine is all stock, complete. I have a 93 GT convertible, Lance. It's on display right now at the Halderman Museum in Ohio. But zero modifications on it at all. It is actually bone stock.
Yeah, and trying to find those is kind of a hunt and a passion for me, and it's kind of what started all this Fox Body Effect stuff. Is I'd had multiple Mustangs and different stuff, but I was constantly looking for that type of a thing, you know, rare stuff that was left untouched. And you know, there's a guy that I had bought two vehicles from and has a third still. It's a convertible with, you know, sub 20,000 miles, 100% original, and we had bought an 86 GT from him, and then also a four-eyed T-top coupe, all original cars. And so the reason we were able to buy these cars, and we got them just a couple of years ago for $4,500 each,
wow,
which is a ridiculous, wow, deal. Yeah.
There you go, Lance.
Yeah.
The guy is sitting in Nowersville, mid-America, with basically, you know, he's not on social at all. And, ooh, wow, and there's still deals out there, because I think there's this, and it's not an ageist thing. I think it's 45 and up. There's a lot less likelihood that they're on social. And if they are, it's Facebook only, which is kind of the tough one, because that has marketplace and it gets us all in trouble if we're trying to buy stuff. You mentioned Mark Wilson, and he's the perfect example. I love him, and I talk to him on a regular basis, but man, it's always, he'll call me or text me and comes home with something new. And I'm like, see, yeah, marketplace talk again, but it gets you. But there's still a good group of guys that have had these for, let's say, 25 or 30 years. And they still think these cars, they have this mentality of, a Fox body would never be worth more than 10 grand. And they'll price them like that if you find the right guy. Unfortunately, I don't know how they do it, but they're still out there.
Well, it's because you're so tied to this market, and that's your passion and what you do in social. I'm going to present to you the same question I get. You know, I cover all the Mustang brands and years and generations, but everybody asks me pretty much the same question when it comes to Foxes. And Mike, you're right. There's just an undying devotion to the pace car, and everyone loves to see them, and ditto on the 93 Cobra. But why is it that the SVO Mustang just doesn't seem to get the attention it deserves in the Fox world? Do you have any ideas, Lance?
Yeah, I've actually done some pretty interesting interviews on this. And one guy I interviewed, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. It's it was done in a magazine forever ago. And he's up, he's not around anymore. The gentleman that did this passed away, but he created, he built a house around his SVO collection or Mustang collection. And he had multiple SVOs. They're all like barely under, you know, under 100 miles, multiple original. And the cars are still in the house today. There's two in the kitchen. There's multiple in the living room. The house was built around these cars. You guys know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. We heard of him, and I thought for sure once he'd passed, that was a done deal. That was all going to be gone. He had a super devotion. I think the SVO community had a special place for him.
Correct. Yeah. And so his brother kind of taking it on now. He inherited it. His brother has kept it up. And
okay.
They keep everything exactly the way. I haven't changed a thing. They kind of just, you know, keep the house up and cut the grass, and that's it. And so I interviewed his brother about the whole thing and his story and everything. And, you know, there's people out there that want to collect stuff, and especially in the car market, they want to collect everything ancillary to it. But I believe that the SVO, it's not just the four cylinder. It's like, I think that's the first thing. I think the biggest thing, to be honest, is not the power. I think it's the sound. Just doesn't have the sound. That's the main I honestly believe, just as a personal opinion,
okay,
I think that the wheels that came on them weren't as good looking as well. And for something about that dual rear wing, I don't know. Like, I like it because it's different, but I don't like it as much as I like other wings on these Mustangs.
No, so. Mike, I think that was your first Mustang, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't my first, but that was the one I sold to get into my 05. So that was only three Mustangs ago of mine. But yeah, I had an 86 Jalapeno Red SVO, and I sold that to place my order on my 2005 Mustang.
Okay, so you both are in agreement. I mean, it's historically significant Fox body, if there ever was one. And yet it didn't, you're right, four cylinders don't sound the same. And Mike, you sell Mustangs to this day. Even the best sounding EcoBoost isn't like a Coyote.
No, correct. Absolutely not. And yeah, it's sad that that's the way it is. But yeah, and I agree with Lance that it is the sound on the SVO as well.
That's a shame because, you know, Lance, I got to tell you, I travel around going to shows, and I think it was the Show Me Mustang Club in St. Louis. I walked up there, and Karen Mitchell, the president of that club, introduced me to some guy. He's an old codger. He's a character, and he says, "Oh, you're that guy from Ford. I'm going to show you something you've never seen in your whole life. Come see my car." And I said, "What is it?" He goes, "You ever see an SVO convertible?" Now, what would you do if somebody told you that?
Well, I've had a similar thing happen, but I'm going to let you finish this. That story.
Well, no, I walked up there, and he said, I walked around, and I said, "Well, this is really interesting." He goes, "Yeah, it sure is." I go, "It's the most interesting because we never made one of these." And I said, "But you've got to be pretty good with a Sawzall."
Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't know if you've ever seen one, Lance.
I'm sure there's more than one of those Sawzalls.
There's got to be.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that one? Okay.
I haven't seen that one.
All right.
But what's really funny about this, why I'm laughing so hard, is there's, sure you guys know him, there's a guy that he lives in my home state in Georgia, and I've interviewed him on my podcast. It is the most downloaded podcast of all, almost 200 episodes I've done in the last 2 years, and it continued to be redownloaded. I don't even listen to my own podcast that often, but I've listened to this one like three times because I laugh so hard every time. And there's a guy that's got what he calls a 93 Cobra convertible. And it's supposedly one of 10, lots of documentation, all this kind of stuff. And so it's just one of these things that, and online, he's been talking about it for like 30 years. And he's been on every single group, every page, going back to the forum days. And anybody that doesn't know, the Georgia Snake is what the name it goes by. Like, it's just one of these things. Like, it's that car is more famous than Racing Jason. Like, people know this car more than any other Fox body on the planet. of the claim this guy's made for so many years.
So when you interview him, I mean, how do you, I mean, it's hard. You want to be respectful of every owner, and you know, it's just hard sometimes being a purist on Foxes when you start talking to these guys. Do you just let them tell their story?
Yeah, that one, you know, I really had to be very, very reserved. And I'm just a kind person at heart anyway, so I'm not real conversive, you know, like combative with people. But I definitely wanted to get his side in its entirety. Right. And because it's been shared so much in print, right? In print, online, where you type it in. But I have never heard his story, video or audio, told. And so I wanted to get the other senses involved, right? With audio and everything else. And there's just so many funny parts about it and stuff that you have to just go and listen to it, because I mean, I swear there's so many things that just happened during this podcast where it's just too funny not to. And I don't know. I don't want to pick at the person or anything, but it's one of these things where, yes, there are people out there. And I think that something starts and then it's very hard to undo that. And that's probably your SVO convertible owner. It was the same.
Well, you know,
the story was told once and it was hard to undo.
Yeah. It's not uncommon. There's many people. We come across a lot of people who say to us, well, Ford didn't build the car I wanted, so I built it. And that's 100% cool. Mike, what do you say? It's just just a palette, and you start with that, and then you can do anything you want, really.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And Mike, the heroes, the people that we know who've worked at Ford, never really tried to make it the complete, you know, be all end all of every owner. Go to any show, and like you said this a million times, you never see two Mustangs the same.
No, and Mustang is the most modified car in the world.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, you had 10 million of them out there. You'd think you'd see three or four identical ones. I mean, I can go to a show, like an MCA Judd show, and see a lot of red 65 resale red, but they're not identical. And with the Fox being out 15 years, it's just cool to see so many people. I mean, at Mustang Week and some of the coming up ponies in the Smokies, to see some of these Foxes, that serious money, Lance, has been put into these cars that normally, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't be putting that kind of cash in a Fox.
That's exactly right. And that's why I said that the values and the market, what's driving is these modifications is a big sector, especially I would say in the, you know, I would say younger crowd, but like maybe the crowd that the cars were coming out of production when we were either in middle school, high school, and it was like a first, you know, first car that we wanted, but maybe couldn't afford. And so we had to wait a little while. And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kind of pent up demand, and now we've got them. And it's like, wow, I have a Honda and it's faster than this original Fox body. So they're like, I want to put some power, right? They want to swap it, or they want to, you know, build something, and they want to, you know, not just go race it, but they want to have a street car. These resto mods is really a huge sector of it. And yes, there's, I can't tell you how many people I know with six figures in these Fox bodies. So it's kind of crazy to think about that, you know, but that's where it's been.
Yeah. And Mike, you were talking about, we have a couple of podcasts where we're talking about the market and today how the SN95 is the entry level into the hobby for so many young people. Just because they're still bargains and, you know, they last a long time and there's whole aftermarkets for them. You can buy just about anything for an SN95 now. And weren't you approached about doing a reunion for them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all the groups try to reach out and try to do the reunions because, you know, that's one of our well-known things at our show. And yeah, we try to welcome them and definitely love to have them all at every time. I mean, it's a huge draw to our show having those reunions every single year at our event.
Well, and you know, when Fox Fest entered the fray last year during the big rainstorm, I mean, everybody was there, and we even had David LaRocque. Mike, did you finally get the SVO book?
Yes, finally. After all these years, I finally do own the SVO book now.
Yeah. Well, so Lance, you should know then. That Marcy Cipriani, who was working with SVT on many things. She helped do the SVT recognition guide. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing PR, she also, with the late Tom Schreiner, did a book called The Fox Body Recognition Guide that's long out of print.
I have about 40 copies sitting here next to me.
Those things, all
in plastic, never opened this year.
That's one that I don't have either, John. I never had that one.
And Lance
a while
has
back, the, I bought so many of them.
Yeah, you got the last 40, Lance. They are like gold. I don't know if you were aware of it, but when Donald Farr did a paperback on the Boss 302 back in the 70s, he had a very limited print run, just like the Fox Body Recognition Guide. And when that book was sold out for so many years, the copies that were out there, 10, 15-year-old copies, paperback copies, were going for $200 and $300 a piece.
Yeah, these are the same. You go on eBay right now, I promise you, there's at least one or two that are $150 to $300.
Absolutely.
I've seen them $500, $600. You know, I always wait and I'll find a deal. I've gotten multiple from different places for, you know, anywhere from $40 to $50. And it's just waiting for the right time. And, you know.
Well, this what is the name of it again, Lance?
Fox Body Recognition Guide. It's a blue.
Tom Schreiner. That's the blue one with all the four cars on the cover.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're serialized in the inside. You open it up in the first page. They have a silver sticker and they're serialized. I can't remember how many they're all.
I
think it's like 500.
I think 5,000. I think
5,000. Yeah. That's right.
So, Mike, this proves that Lance Wilson is a speculator on the market. He's a brilliant. he knows when to jump in and when to hang on to something, and then when it comes time to cash in, bingo, he's there.
Yeah.
I know Marcy. Marcy's looking to redo the book.
Yeah, I've heard that actually. A friend of mine said that was kind of somewhere out there.
Yeah, and it may be a couple of years down the road, but and I think it's because again, not just because if you're all over it, Lance, your podcast, all the things you do online, but there's so many other people now chasing their foxtails. And
absolutely,
so many events now that were never even existed 5 years ago. And so riding the bubble of the Fox interest, it's just so cool to see these little cars finally get, the collector interest that they've deserved, much like the second gen cars were always put down and they're a blast to drive. And cause they're to me, that was a no brainer. Anything that was wrong with a second gen was fixed in a Ford Racing catalog. A 302 is a 302, you know? Mm-hmm. So with us, Lance, we're just wondering, if you had the chance, and as you go further into the Fox world, what would your dream Fox be?
You know, I kind of already owned it, and I just recently sold it because I'm not one of those guys. And I think maybe you could both be those guys, and there's tons of us that know these guys. I'm not the typical person that buys a car and I have to hold on to it for forever. And it's not that I'm just not connected to a car. I don't know. I'm very interested in the next thing sometimes. So a lot of times it just don't stay with me too long. Now the blue coupe that I have now, the Bimini blue coupe is going to stay. Cause my son and I, there is an emotional connection. So there is that. And I'm going to keep that one, but, I bought the 89 Celine SSC. It was a one of 161. It was a barn find car in North Georgia just over 2 years ago. and I did a whole video on it. I even we videoed us taking it, you know, pulling it out of the garage with my friend Brandon, Shadow Brandon, shout out to him with his rollback and everything. And got a heck of a deal on this car. And then all we did was, you know, new fuel system but new fuel tank pump, flushed the lines, fresh gas, battery, oil change, and some plugs. And we were off to the races and it ran and like a sewing machine after not running for 20 years, sitting on the side of the road for 15 years and in the barn for another five. And hundreds of people that had tried to buy this exact car, and it was an hour and a half from my house and I had never seen it, but it came on Facebook Marketplace. And because I'm just constantly on there searching for certain things, I was the guy that ended up with the deal and got there first. So what happened was this car, it came into my life kind of unexpectedly, because I had only seen one before. That my friend that went with me to get it has one still, basically in mint condition, one of the other 161. And so I was like, dude, I got a chance to go buy your car out of this barn. Let's go. So we ran up there, made it happen, came back with this car. I took a picture of it in my driveway at night, and I sent it to him and then one other good friend. And I said, you know, obviously don't share this or anything. I'm going to share it on Facebook, you know, later.
Right.
Both of them, oh, I won't share it. And within 24 hours, a random guy in Massachusetts that I don't know shared that picture. What? In my driveway of my car. And I called both of my buddies. They swear they didn't share it. What? They don't know who this guy is. I found out like 8 months later how it happened. It was one of the guys did share it with another friend, and he was so excited. He shared it with the guy in Massachusetts. And that guy had to post it and was like, does anybody know if this is legit? Is this car nice. Another Celine that was found? Is this barn find for real? What's the info? And everybody starts this whirlwind. And there was hundreds of comments, thousands of likes within about 24 hours on this Facebook group. And so I'm sitting here reading all this, and I'm actually mad. I'm like, what in the world? Like, how do they do this to me? This was my glory, and they stole the whole thing from me. And keep in mind, this was before I did anything content creation wise at all. I hadn't made the first post. Fox Body FX wasn't even a thing at this point.
Right.
And so I wasn't thinking it from that. I just wanted to be the guy that posted it. It was
car. Sure. And so I love the Mustang world, Lance.
Oh, absolutely. I waited and waited. All the speculation that happened, and finally, after like, I waited a full 24 to 30 hours and just let everybody stew. And I mean, the comments were just at hilarity at this point. And after they stewed for a while, I finally put multiple other pictures of the same car to say, hey, this is mine. I just got this. And this is a few people had said, oh, is that the one that's up there near Highway 411 in North Georgia near the Tail of the Dragon on the way to that? I finally said, hey, here's the story. And yes, it is that car. And then everybody was excited because I was going to do something with it and got it back on the road. And that started all this, because that post and that car basically just blew up. I mean, I had hundreds of people message me on my Facebook Messenger going, I tried to buy that car. And then when I started bringing it to shows like Ponies in the Smokies a couple of years, Foxtoberfest, people would come up and just say, thank you so much for bringing it, because I've passed it on the road. Either taking pictures of it for like 10 years in a row. I mean, I had a guy send me, Bob with Purist Motorsports sent me a picture he took like 15 years ago with like a Polaroid, and he found it in a shoebox and sent it to me. I mean, of this car sitting by the road. And so people were really connected to this specific car, and it just turned into this big thing. And so I said, I got to do something with this. And I had a kind of an internet marketing company background that I'd started and had. And so I knew how to do all this stuff. I was like, I'm gonna take this and run with it. This would be fun. And so came up with this Fox Body FX thing. And my buddy Shadow Brandon helped me out with that, kind of coming up with it, and just have ran with it. And kind of the rest is history. I started this podcast and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And now it's just, you know, it's its own entity now.
Well, I got a question for you, Lance. Will you be coming to the Motor City Fox Fest in July?
I will. I was there last year, and I'll be there again this year. Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. Very, very cool.
You got to look us up, Mike. That's proof that even something like Fox Body FX, that everybody knows, everybody's got a Mustang story, and that started this whole thing. And a passion for this car never ceases to amaze me. Well, I really appreciate your time tonight, Lance. Thank you so much for sharing your Mustang story, albeit something crazy like that.
I appreciate the time for sure. And if you guys have one more second, I'd love to share one additional thing, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I talked about it on my podcast probably a year and a half ago, and I haven't mentioned it as much lately. I've just been thinking about it in the background. And this past weekend, my son, who's 13, we went on a camp out with a local group here called Trail Life. And so it was a survival camp out. And so it was 24 degrees in the North Georgia mountains, and we couldn't bring a tent or a sleeping bag. Oh, it was pretty rough, but
that's worse than the Comfort Inn, Mike.
Yeah, we were up around this fire, and it was the only way to kind of survive overnight and with no sleep at 3 a.m. And this guy says something to me, and it really makes me think about this thing that I hadn't thought about in a while that I really needed to put some more effort towards. And of course, being an overall car enthusiast, and I love going to car events and shows and fun. And I've had a few of my own little, you know, local shows and things with a couple hundred, you know, Mustangs will show up and stuff. But I've had this idea a year and a half ago called StangCon. And so it's something that I'm now moving forward with actually putting on. And so we're gearing up to have it in Atlanta, Georgia in 2025. So StangCon, so think, you know, like a lot of other things with the word con at the end, kind of a
Comic-Con and all that.
Yeah. Correct. Kind of a convention style. And I want it to be something different. It's, I don't want it to be a car show. I want it to be a curated collection of things, but with information, education, and especially entertainment at the very center of it all, and mostly indoors. And so the interactiveness of it, I think I want to be off the charts, kind of SEMA a little bit, but much, much smaller and open to the public, but a lot more entertainment and a lot more just fun factor, you know, as the focus, but all around from 64 and a half to current day Mustangs, everybody can get involved. And I'm looking forward to it, and kind of in the planning stages right now. So I'm happy to kind of share that.
Absolutely. When you get that set, let's get you back on to launch that.
Yeah, that's absolutely super cool idea. And it's that kind of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, that makes the Mustang hobby renewed. Every so often we find ourselves going in a new direction. It's because of the passion for this car. And Lance, that sounds like a great idea. We hope you find great success with that and keep on going on Fox Body FX as well.
I appreciate that very much, John. Thank you. And thank you, Mike, as well.
Yes, it was a pleasure meeting you, Lance.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you all for having me on.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Mustang Owners Podcast. But don't forget to check out the enthusiast section of FordPerformance.com this week, because, yes, everyone has a Mustang story. And if you haven't already done so, get your Mustang Club or Facebook group registered on FordPerformanceClubConnect.com and all of your Mustangs registered on FordSpecialVehicleRegistry.com. You can also find out what Mike's Mega Club is up to by visiting Moxum.com. And as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions that you can email to us at clubhub@ford.com. So until next time, we'll be looking to catch you down the road.